everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and front man. And this week, I'm flying solo. Because, why? Well, one, a few weeks ago, right before everything went sideways last week and with the interview, I told Big Candy, you know what, take a few weeks off. I got plans, I got an interview, plus the library event. And plans, like they always do, tend to go sideways. So this week it's a solo episode, and with what's happening, even saying the word solo is leaving kind of a bad taste in my mouth. And we'll get to that in a moment. And the depths, it's just going to be my opinion about some of the stuff, but first, let's talk about the Library Comic Con / Pop Culture event. There was a lot of goods and bads to it. The major bad part about it is the fact that we were inside. We were inside downstairs in what they call the Martinsburg Room, which is their big conference room, so to speak, or their big event room. So, meaning, if they have a big event that they just want to set up a whole mess of tables and chairs, they have it in the Martinsburg Room. Just in case, to keep things neat, or if there's, like, animals. I know they've had, like, animal presenters at times at the library. And I think the reason why they would use that room for that type of event is because that floor in the Martinsburg Room is a tile floor, and it's easier to clean. So, there's that. But the reason why we were in the room to begin with is because of the potential of rain. And the major upside of it is that our table was right near the plugs. So that gave us a major option to do the live recording, which we did, and we were able to use our full equipment. I hope you all enjoyed last week's episode in regards to the live recording of Martinsburg's Library's Comic-Con / Pop Culture event. So if you haven't listened to it, please go back to please listen to last week's episode. In regards to the interview we were supposed to have this week, the gentleman that we were supposed to have the interview with never really contact us early Sunday morning, saying that he thought it was going to be Monday. He put it down for Monday evening, and if we could reschedule. And I told him we could have it today, this Saturday, June the 9th, and same time, same channel. Didn't hurt, or we could have it at a different time, please let me know. And it's June 9th. It is currently, as of this recording, didn't hop on Skype, and therefore, I guess we're not having the interview anytime soon, so who knows. So, hopefully we'll get back to him and see what's happening in regards to the interview. My guess is more likely not than will, so I do apologize for that. But, going back to the library show, being inside, the other major problem with it, even though I understand why they had us inside, is that, one, was downstairs in right next to the children's section, and they didn't really tell everybody that was on the main floor, or aka the middle floor, floor two, or whatever you want to call it, that the vendors were downstairs, that we were downstairs. Yeah, we had people come downstairs, but not many people did come downstairs to frequent the vendors. Meaning, if we were outside, everybody that was going inside would have been, in essence, forced to pass by the vendors. So, yeah, there was a good side to everything where we were able to have full equipment up and ready and recording, and we did get a lot of great, we got two great interviews, and in essence, they were a fledgling podcast about a few months old. They were those super dudes, and Matt was there. He did show up, so we got a little bit of a promotional piece from him. And speaking of which, we will be at his Pop not pop, his punk rock flea market, and I'm going to add slash horror movie film festival, because he'll be showing a bunch of horror movies at this event, along with there's going to be a few bands playing there. I don't have the list handy, so as time goes by, I will get that list handy of the confirmed bands that will be there playing. And there will be a few special guests there from, like, Troma and local actresses, independent movie actresses there as well, and signing their wares and so forth and so on. So, and promoting the movies that they are in. So that's great. That's awesome. Hopefully we'll get a bunch of interviews at that event and a couple of videos for you and photos and so forth and so on. It'll be a wonderful event. For both of us, hopefully we as a show and you as a listener will win big time, meaning that if we get a bunch of content, you guys and gals get a bunch of content. So, and speaking of which, as far as I know, again, card is subject to change. There was another guest announcement for Matt's the Four State Comic Con in October. We are not a vendor yet, so we are working on getting that to happen soon. So once we do, and once everything goes through, we will let you know if we're vending at that event, and we'll be attending that event in some way, shape, or form. But he has put out another announcement in reference to a guest, and that is Miss Monique Dupree. She's been a she's an independent actress. She's been in a lot of local films. She's been in a couple of John Johnson's films. She's been a couple of Troma films, and she's also been a model. She is also part of the hardcore, the House of Hardcore Wrestling group. And so if we get to go to Matt's October Comic-Con this year in Hagerstown Hall, at Hagerstown Hall in Hagerstown, I want an interview with hers, because she's had a wonderful career, and if I do get a chance to interview her, it might be not just a 15-20 minute interview. This might be a half hour interview, because with her, there's a lot of stuff to unpack and to talk about, because she's had a wonderful career and so forth and so on. It'll be interesting to get her take, and hopefully on that. Now, to kind of continue, because, there is a lot to talk about. Let's see, what else? We have seen two things come out. I want to start with some of the positive stuff that has come out before I put on my tinfoil hat and start talking about some of the controversies and some of the issues that have been happening in some of the areas in the geek the pop culture fandom so far. And one of which is relatively new. This came out, I want to say earlier this week. And that is, apparently, Logan is coming back with new powers. And for those of you not into comics, about 3 years ago or so, at Marvel, they in essence killed off Wolverine. Logan Wolverine. And what happened, I'm kind of summing up, please go to Comicstorian on YouTube, and hopefully, I think he has put up a summary. What he tends to do on his channel on YouTube is, I want to say, quite possibly putting down his channel a little bit, but I'm not. The best word I could, or words to describe his channel, is Cliff Notes versions. I'll let him know. It's like, listen, I described your channel as the Cliff Notes version of the comics sector, but I don't mean that in any way, shape, or form in putting his channel down. But it's the best way to describe his channel, because what he tends to do is read comics for you and break down the comic series, which means, like, recently he went through the death of Deadpool, meaning, recently, Deadpool ended at issue 300 to be rebooted in a new volume. Meaning, if this is volume 1, they're going to make a volume 2. But before they do that, they had to ended at a particular issue. So they ended it at 300. So this particular storyline, he read like issue 1, issue 2, issue 3 in that storyline. And when the run reboots, he'll not so much continue, or he might even break down that first issue. So there's that. So that's up to him. But what he did in the past, I believe it's on his channel, he broke down and read The Death of Wolverine as to what happened to him, why he died. He didn't go into it, just that he reads the story and hits the key points so you can, in essence, know what happened to Wolverine story-wise. So, in essence, the Cliff Notes version. And from what I was told in the article that I read about Wolverine coming back, there was a second run of, or according to article, it was part of a trilogy of stories. One is that they, in essence, killed Wolverine, and, or I should say Logan, and part two is his body went missing, and therefore it was called The Hunt for Wolverine, or The Hunt for Logan. And this is the third series, or third miniseries in regards to that, of him coming back. Now, in between this set, Wolverine's daughter, or aka Logan's daughter, let's just call her by what she was first known as, X-23, took over the mantle of Wolverine for the X-Men universe, which is not a bad idea, and it was, I think, well-received, and I think a lot of fans said, okay, we could see that happening, and I have no problem with that. It was the logical aspect. But in The Death of Wolverine, in regards, summering up it even worse than comic historian can ever do, but basically, what happened was Wolverine, in attempt to save the day, so to speak, became encased in adamantium, thus, quote-unquote, killing him. So, beyond that point, his daughter took over, X-23 took over, and at some point during that time frame, Old Man Logan from the Old Man Logan universe came through, and there was interaction, so forth and so on. Please look at Comic Historian and to see in reference to the storylines he's covered. I think he's covered a bunch of those stories on his channel. Or check out some of the channels he's associated with, because I think he's associated with a few channels that do the same thing he does. So they might cover a few of the stories as well. So please do that. Look him up on YouTube. It's Comic Historian. So there's that. And let me just say this. The new power that Wolverine is getting when he comes back, the story is not out yet. The series is not out yet. So this is just what I was told and what was in the article. The power that he will be acquiring, again, don't know the storyline, so I don't know how he's acquiring this power, is that when he pops his claws, those claws will have the ability at times to heat up. As to how hot, I guess, will depend on who's writing the comic, the situation, so forth and so on. But again, I don't know exactly how he's getting this ability. But we've known Wolverine in the past, Logan, not X-23, to pretty much come back from just being dang near close to death. So there's that. And the other thing that is I want to mention is that with the new Predator movie that is coming out sometime this year, if not next year, it looks like the main bad guy in that movie would be a 10-foot tall Predator hybrid. And the main storyline from what has been told and what I've seen is that an ordinary Predator is going to be teaming up with a bunch of locals to take down this baddie. And from what I've been hearing through the grapevine, the new trailer exposing this new baddie, this bad guy, or the villain in this movie, is redeeming a lot of expectations, which means that from a lot of people saying, I'm very skeptical, I don't want to see this movie because it's very, it looks very bad, I'm not invested in the trailer to go see the movie, they're changing their minds as regards to, I want to see this movie. So, but for now, on my end, I do want to see this movie. I'll probably see it when it comes out. And for those of you probably expecting E3 news right now, because as we are recording this, or at least I am recording this, E3 is starting up. I am going to be waiting until a lot of the news is actually dropping before telling all of you what is happening in regards to E3 and video games, because sometimes, let's take the Xbox One in regards to things. When that first came out, at I think a few years ago, at E3, they were saying, you know, it's going to be DRM, it's got to be always online, so forth and so on. And within due to the backlash at E3 and everything else, within a day or two after E3, they changed their minds and revamped everything in regards to the stumble they made at E3. So as soon as everything falls and the chips fall where they lay, I will let you all know in regards to E3 news, which will be roughly next week, next recording. So that'll be good. That way all the news is settled and all the news comes out in reference to what we're getting, I might be stoked for, what everybody else might be stoked for. So there's that. But one of the things that did come out in regards to not so much E3, but the paper that you kind of hear me turning is my notes for this episode, so I know what's to cover, is a few days ago in regards to Destiny 2. The game that tends to annoy me the most is Destiny. And what Bungie and I think Activision tend to do in regards to their Destiny line of games. I had a lot of frustrations a few years ago with Destiny. I voiced my opinions in regards to it. All of you heard my opinions in regards to Destiny 2, September last year and October last year. Please go back to our live recording at the September's Four State Comic Con to hear our first initial impressions of Destiny 2. That's why I recommend using the Podbean app. That way you have easier access to all our past episodes than you would with iTunes and Google Play Music. So you could go back that far and listen to past episodes. So please, if you use a mobile device, please use the Podbean app more so than you use iTunes and Google Play Music. And speaking of that, there's been reports that with iTunes, a couple of shows are not downloading correctly. I myself recently had that issue, that problem, with a couple of podcasts I listen to. They're not downloading correctly in regards to iTunes is going, golly gee, we don't know where this podcast is. We cannot connect to their servers. We don't know what's going on. Yet, once I go to where that podcast is located, I'm easily able to download that episode. Now, this is not, there are things that happen with Jay's main site to cause that problem, so that's a different issue. I have to resubscribe to a lot of his podcasts due to his issues with his site, so that's, I'm not knocking Jay at any way, shape, or form. So, there's that. But with Destiny 2, they recently dropped their Warmind DLC. I have yet to pay the $20 to get it because I've heard mixed reactions to it, and that a lot of their issues with Warmind, some of the things were said was, yes, it's decent DLC, but it's short, and there's a lot of things that you have to really grind to and do, and frustrations in regards to getting hidden, quote-unquote, hidden loot. So I decided, you know, I don't want the DLC. But with the upcoming DLC that's hitting the markets in September, and the markets meaning Steam, the PS, the PlayStation Network, Xbox Live, etc., etc., is the Forsaken DLC. What the storyline is, I don't know. But, or not many people are, or at least I haven't heard what it's covering yet. But, from what I was told, the DLC is $35 to get the DLC instead of $20. So you're paying $15 more. Now, here's the thing. Here is the fun part. In order to run this DLC, fun DLC, you have to have the other two DLCs. That's right. Unlike a game like, let's say, BioShock or Halo or Gears of War or Call of Duty or Battlefront, where I don't want this DLC. I don't have the money for it right now. But once the next one drops, oh, this has a lot of cool stuff in it, I'm going to get it. You don't have to buy the first DLC that drops. You could buy either the second or third DLC that drops, if there's a second and third. But with this, if you want to play the Forsaken DLC for Destiny 2, you have to literally buy the other two DLC in order to play this DLC. Now, that being said, Bungie and Activision have doubled down in regards to this. Because they have told everybody, guess what? There is a $35 annual fee or a quote-unquote season pass for Forsaken. Meaning, for those of you who bought the season pass for Destiny 2, will only qualify you to get the three DLCs that came out. I don't remember what the first DLC was called for Destiny 2, but the second is Warmind, the third one is Forsaken. That's all you get for that season pass. But Forsaken, you'll have to shell out another $35 a year for a season pass. Now, because in DLC, they have seasons, like various events occurred during the year, or seasonal events. That's what you're paying for. And during these events, you'll have access to different types of loot, whether it's cosmetic, or there might be, if it's a, let's say, a Saint equivalent of a winter Christmas type of thing, or a Valentine's Day, and they bring out exclusive weapons for that particular event, this is going to be part of that season pass. Now, Bungie and Activision have come out saying you don't have to sign up for the season pass. Meaning that you could play the game and do your thing normally without signing up. But here's the kicker. They're telling you what they've come out to say, but if you want we will be releasing some of the special loot for those who are not signed up for the season pass, some of it. But if you want all that special loot, sign up for the season pass. Which, more than likely, that special loot, even if you're signed up for the season pass, you have to shell out extra income for it, which means that's my guess. We'll see when everything hits in regards to what the fallout is in regards to the Forsaken season pass, meaning that when people are playing it, like has happened this past winter in regards to what Destiny has said, like, oh, you can have this Christmassy type event, but everything that we're offering will be, in essence, behind a paywall. So, whether or not the special stuff that they'll be offering through the Forsaken Season Pass will be behind another paywall, which means, oh, if you want the stuff that you couldn't grind out through the season, $35 season pass, you could pay us for that extra loot. The possibility, which means, oh yeah, we're going to have to pay, if you want that special gun, which is only available through the season pass, one, you have to be a season pass member. Two, you have to pay for the loot box, or the whatever they wish to call it for Destiny 2. That's my guess is what will happen, and we'll see when Forsaken drops. Now, for those who won't get the season pass, there's a good chance you'll never see that weapon ever. Let me stand corrected. You will see that weapon if you play a lot of the player versus player, meaning that if you go into their team deathmatch or their team domination or however they wish to call that section, or whatever major multiplayer that they have, you will see other players have those weapons in regards, or you will be matched with players that have those weapons, and that way you'll be enticed, or the possibility, now this is all a tinfoil hat theory, that you will be enticed to get the season pass, and enticed to get the loot boxes, and My guess, this is my personal tinfoil hat theory. The reason why Bungie and Activision are doing the $35 season pass above the DLC price and the loot boxes is because Destiny 2, from what I've heard, is bleeding players constantly. That they just, in essence, want the money. And again, my guess is the reason why they're putting this season pass on top of a DLC price is to kind of get more money from the diehard people that have been playing since September and haven't abandoned the game in one way, shape, or form. Now, before we go into the next topic, I want to go on to... Well, I can't, because I have to go through this topic as much as I really don't want to and skip over it for the next topic, but it kind of goes hand in hand, and it's the best way I could describe this mess, is recently, earlier this week, I want to say, I think it was like Monday or Tuesday, Kelly Marie, let me rephrase that, it's been a long, tiring day, folks, but please let me rephrase that that name. Kelly Marie Tran. For those of you who have not heard or know who this actress is, this is the actress who played Rose in The Last Jedi. Now, I had no real reason to like the aspect of the character or the how she played the role. Me and Big Candy might have had some issues with that character, but not the actress. The reason why I say this is because recently she has left social media, period. Her Instagram, every post on her Instagram has been deleted. Literally deleted. And what has... the reasoning behind the deletion has been because of she's been getting a lot of hate and bullying, and a lot of racist remarks on her Instagram account. Now, here's the thing. A lot of the SJWs and the mainstream media have been attacking and going against the fans. They've been... for whatever reason, they're saying... They're going after the fans. They're going against the toxic fans. Yes, every fandom has toxic fans. But they're not just going against them. They're going against every fan. They're going against everybody. And they're just chomping at the bit in regards to this. And it's disgusting. The SJWs, the mainstream media, both sections are calling the fandom and the fans racist, sexist, every freaking name in the book they're calling the fans in regards to this. As to, look what you're doing, look at, you know, you did this, you caused her to leave, You bullied her to the fact that she left Instagram. Yet, the thing is, there is no way for people like myself and a lot of other YouTubers that are out there that have been covering this event for the past couple of days to actually legitimately look into her account and see who's been bullying her, what the bullying was, how much of it the comments were bullying. So there's no, we were like, I won't say we, but a lot of people from a independent standpoint, when we looked into the matter in regards to, okay, let's see who's been bullying her. Let's see, we're not denying the fact that she could have been bullied, but, or harassed in any way, shape, or form, but let us see in regards to what it was. Let's get the details. Let's, that way we could point fingers, or I won't say point fingers, but look at who's been doing it, whether they were actual trolls or, you know, and everything else. That way we could either apologize or everything else in regards to this. But we can't. Every post has been deleted. I can't. You can't. As a listener, if you went to her Instagram, everything's been wiped. And what mainstream media and, like I said, they've been blaming the fans. Like I said, it's been hard to tell per who, what, when, where. And it's not just in regards to, like, Solo and The Last Jedi. The hate is not against her. A lot of the hate that I've seen or my critiques in regards to both Solo and The Last Jedi. Now, if all of you out there, let me just say this right now. If you loved The Last Jedi, or if you loved Solo, that fine. That's your prerogative. That's your choice. If you really loved it, fine. There were some issues with Solo that I've seen that I've agreed with in regards to some YouTubers and some other reviewers. And same thing with Last Jedi. I've agreed with some YouTubers in regards to why the movie didn't do too well. It wasn't so much the people playing those characters, it was how those characters were written. Now, in regards to the people that did not like The Last Jedi, I might not have agreed with what they said in regards to their hate for the movie, but that's a different story. The reason why I didn't like Last Jedi is because I thought, for as a whole, it was poorly written. The characters came off just wrong because of that. But the character-wise, the people were fine. I didn't have problems with anybody playing those characters. But a lot of people who are coming out in regards to this and pointing at this situation in regards to what happened with Miss Tran, with Kelly Marie Tran, what they're pointing out is that several things. One is that she took down her Instagram posts, not because, even though everybody's saying, hey, you the fans, you the Star Wars fans did this to her. One reason people are saying that she took down her posts is that right now she is in the process of filming episode 9. So therefore she deleted her posts to get kind of not really to, how do I put this? To avoid the questions of, share some photos of what's going on set. Can you tell us about this? Can you tell us about this? That sort of maybe harassment. So, meaning that she could have signed a non-disclosure type agreement in regards to being on set. So therefore, wipe all everything for now and just start fresh later on. That way, less temptation in regards to posting up stuff. The other thing is that people are saying, and I'm going to say it's maybe their tinfoil hat theories, not mine, that I could see their proof is, one of the things that they're saying is that this is a distraction. That the people at Lucasfilm, now, granted, this is just a tinfoil hat theory. not my theory. This is a tinfoil hat theory that I'm relaying to all of you. That people at Lucasfilm and Disney have told Kelly Marie to kind of take down her posts so they could put out this narrative that, hey, look, you know, that bully you, the fans, you bully fans, you white male fanboys are bullied this person of color to the point that she took down her Instagram posts. Look what you did. And as a, like I said, as a distraction, kind of like the shiny keys, like, look at this. So everybody looks at the shiny keys, not at the poor Blu-ray sales for Last Jedi, not to, you know, look at the fact that Solo has lost, if not $50 million or more at the box office already, and is not even a blockbuster at this point. It's a flop and a fail, according to a lot of people. Not to mention, it's a third distraction at the possible leaving of Kathleen Kennedy. So, you have this, like, let's jingle the keys over here and get everybody looking at this, excuse me, this event, and not the what's actually going on. Sorry about the pause, folks. I had to take a drink. But they're just, like I was saying, they're jingling a form of keys away from the situation that may be at hand, which is the bad Blu-ray sales for Last Jedi, the bad performance of Solo and Kathleen Kennedy possibly going away, being let go from LucasArts. So, until I know for sure, and everybody else knows for sure, let's just hope it's just because she's filming episode 9, and it's part of a whole non-disclosure thing, which sounds a lot better, and I'm willing to agree with that, than the whole distraction and the tinfoil hat theory in regards to, oh, look at me, look at me, look at me. But the whole aspect of the mainstream media insulting the fan base, and SJWs insulting the fan base, that, and I've said this to a bunch of people, that in regards to other subjects, that if you dislike show X because it is being diverse or having, for whatever reason, if you hate that, therefore you are being sexist, racist, misogynistic, so forth and so on. And my response to that at that particular point was, so if someone who is a person of color and they don't like that show because of what it's doing, are they being racist? If a woman doesn't like what a show is pushing or a movie is pushing, are they being sexist too? Or so forth and so on. Are they being, you know, or are you just pinning on just like, okay, it's just them. But what are the people of color that don't like it? What about the women that don't like it? What about the other people that don't like it? That you're, in essence, just saying, okay, all of you fans are racist and homophobic and sexist and, you know, so forth and so on because you don't like this movie. And look what you did to this poor actress. Meanwhile, they're, you know, it's bad. It's hateful. As a Star Wars fan, I do not hate this actress. I never did. I think, you know, the movie that she kind of starred in or was a co-star in, Last Jedi, was just overall a bad product. She tried her best in regards to making the role, and I'm sure she's the sweetest person to know in real life. And I have nothing against her. It's the product. And if... it's kind of hard to say. It literally is. And that be the case, I'm going to move on, because what more can I cover in regards to this? And because it's sad. It's pathetic that this whole narrative is going with this character, yet no one is, in essence, from her camp is talking. She's not talking. Her agent's not talking. So we don't know what's going on. When we don't know the who's, what's, when's, and where's, and how's. So until we do, I'm going to move on. And moving on is the whole aspect of the Disney and Fox deal. And some reports are coming out. This has been for a few months. The deal is the fact, everybody's been knowing, we reported on the deal. We gave you, all of you, our thoughts. Again, you could go back, I think it was a few months ago that we put up an episode, I think it was of Fox, Disney, of mice, foxes, and of fans. Again, use the Podbean app in regards to that to hear our initial reactions to it. But the deal could be in trouble. Why could it be in trouble? Well, one, Comcast is offering $60 billion in cash. $60 billion in cash deal. Meaning they have the funds already to make out, in essence, a check and go to Fox saying, here you go. You're worth $60 billion. Here's $60 billion. And what Disney was initially doing was providing that amount mostly, I wouldn't say mostly, an entirely stock deal. And at the time of that deal, the stock was going up and up and up and up and up. So therefore, Fox looks like, hey, if we get $60 billion now and everything goes through within a couple of months, that $60 billion in stock is going to be worth maybe $80 million or $70 million, $80 million, $90 million or more. So that's awesome for us. But then, since then, with The Last Jedi kind of meeting expectations, Solo not meeting expectations, and the person, John Lasseter, or I'm not sure how you pronounce his last name, who is in charge of Pixar. He is after The Incredibles 2 is leaving Pixar. He's going away. Some reports are saying part of the there's issues in regards to the hashtag MeToo movement that's been going around that he's kind of involved with. So I don't know the details in regards to that. And with the pot rumors of Kathleen Kennedy leaving Disney, with those two, him confirmed leaving, and the rumors of Kathleen Kennedy possibly leaving as well, and Solo not really performing up to par, has reduced the stock price. So one of the things that Disney initially was doing was, all right, we'll give you X amount in stock and the rest in cash. Now, at that point, the Disney stock was still kind of worth something. Now it's going the way down. So we will see in, I think July, sometime in July. I think I want to say July 8th, but another part of me is thinking that it could be July 10th or 11th. So around mid-July is their major stockholders meeting, and I think that's what I've been hearing, is that there's going to be a major meeting in mid-July, and we'll find out more then in regards to what's happening with the Fox deal. Hopefully, it's fingers crossed, so all you geeks out there, keep your fingers crossed in regards to the Fox deal, that it does go through with Disney, because a lot of people are hoping it does go with Disney, because, well, why not? What a better place for it to go instead of with Comcast, because Comcast might not really know what to do with all the property that Fox has, while Disney might have more of a quality control, even though they might, most people would not like them owning another major section of property. So who knows what will happen? We'll see. And I know I told all of you earlier this episode I wasn't going to talk to all of you about E3 and any news. I was going to wait until next week to talk to you about E3 and the announcements made, but I changed my mind. The Microsoft's announcements was today. This is right now, as of this part of the recording, it is Sunday, June 10th, and I wanted to let you guys know what was said in regards to that, and to include a little bit of other things that was brought to my attention that I neglected to put into last night's recording that I want to tell you right now. Now, what I forgot to include in last night's recording was about the Atari VCS. Now, here's the thing. The Atari VCS, as stated, let me just pause this for a second so I can bring up the information. Okay, I have it up, folks. What basically was the VCS, according to their Indiegogo campaign is, according to the summary, says, Atari returns to the living room with a retro-inspired, completely modern video computer system. New and classic games meet streaming media and a universe of web-powered entertainment on Atari's first-ever connected home platform. Atari VCS delivers unprecedented levels of flexibility and control that will help transform how we interact with our TVs, just as the original Atari 2600 did four decades ago. Now, basically, from what I've been hearing about this, is that they're going to include a bunch of the old Atari 2600 games on the system. There have been, as of right now, granted, E3 started yesterday. There were, as between yesterday and today, there were no announcements coming out from any major group like Vudu, Netflix, Hulu, YouTube, any streaming company like that saying that they're going to have apps for this Atari VCS. There have been, so far, no announcements coming out stating that there are any triple mainstream games coming out for the Atari VCS, meaning there has been no announcement saying, any announcement saying, hey, you're able to get, let's say, Cuphead or Doom or Destiny or Call of Duty or Battlefield or any type of major game or even Madden, the new Madden or the new WWE game for this system. None of that has been announced for the Atari VCS. Excuse me. Now, to give you an idea of with what's going on with the Indiegogo. Now, as of this part of the recording, they have 19 days left of their Indiegogo campaign. Their Indiegogo campaign, in reference to what they wanted, their goal was $100,000. That means they were expecting during their campaign to get $100,000. Now, out of that $100,000 campaign, with 19 days left, they have received or raised $2,818,292 for this campaign. Now, to let all of you know that there is several tiers for this, or perks you can get for this campaign. Now, for just a plain $300 system, this is what you get. The Atari VCS Collector's Edition, and that means instead of it being all black, you get an Atari VCS edition with wood, like a wood panel front, like the old Atari 2600 looked like. And for those of you who don't know what an Atari 2600 looks like, just go into like a CVS or a Walmart or a Target and look at the Atari flashbacks. That's what a 2600 looks like. And it also, again, for this $300 version or this perk, you get that special edition Atari VCS and a classic joystick. And if you want another classic joystick, which is one stick and one button, that'll cost you $29. Now, if you want their Atari Modern controller, which kind of looks like a Xbox One or a PS4 controller, that'll toss you back about $49. Now, if you want the combination of the Atari Classic joystick and the Atari Modern controller, that'll set you back $59. But if you just want the regular Onyx version of the Atari VCS, that'll toss you back $200. Actually, $199. But if you want to spend, $30 more, you could get the Atari VCS Onyx version and an Atari Classic joystick. But if you want to toss $50 more on top of that, you could get the Atari VCS Onyx version, the Classic controller, and the Modern controller. But for $339, you could get the Collector's Edition, that's the one with the wood paneling on the front, the Classic controller, and the Modern controller. Now, those are all the perks that they have, and they raised over $2.8 million for this, and there is no AAA games for this system, which means there is no Borderlands Master Chief Collection announced for this. There is no Destiny game for this. There is no Madden game for this. There's no Call of Duty game for this. None of that is available for this system. This is coming to you just with the preloaded Atari 2600 type games that you could probably get for $10 or $15 on either Steam or through Xbox Live or the PlayStation Network. So in my mind, or at least in my opinion, I'm going to agree with a lot of people out there that are kind of saying that this is not going to be beyond this campaign, this is not going to be a success, because for maybe a few dollars more, or I don't know exactly how much, because it's right now it's E3, and a lot of the PlayStation consoles and the Xbox Ones could be roughly the same price as one of these systems, which means you're going to be getting at least one controller, the console, all the hookups, and granted, they're not going to have any games for it, but they have a back catalog already available, which means if you go out and get an Xbox One S or a PlayStation 4, whatever their current model is, and you pay roughly $350 for it, let's say, or $400 for that Xbox One or that PS4, you're getting the console and you are able to go into a GameStop or a Best Buy or Walmart and get any additional game at any point. And besides, if you sign up for their extra services, which means if you're an Xbox customer, already out of the box, you can play games. You might not be able to play multiplayer, but you can play Netflix, YouTube, Hulu, and so forth and so on. But if you sign up for Xbox Live, you can play out multiplayer campaigns. You get like 4 games a month for free through the Xbox Gold program. Plus, there's Game Pass that you could sign up for, which is an extra fee, but you have access to a lot of games that you can try before you buy. So there's a lot going for that. And plus, the PS4 has its own unique features that when you sign up for their programs, yeah, I think you get like a game or two a month for the PlayStation Network Plus. So you're getting extra stuff already out of the box, and once you're ready to go with them. And yes, it costs you a little bit more than what Atari is out or offering, but they've been in the game a heck of a lot longer. They have a whole mess of back catalog, and especially Nintendo has a whole back catalog, or Nintendo Switch, they already have a multitude of games already out, and probably for less, you could pick up a Nintendo 2DS at Walmart or Target and have plenty of games to play for it. not to mention a backlog of, like, classic Nintendo games. So, unless you're, this is going to be a shelf piece, a very expensive shelf piece at that, I wouldn't pick this up. And if you're getting it to pay, to play the classic Atari games, save yourself the money. Go get, if you got a console, get it that way. If you don't have a console, get a flashback. Granted, the sound might not be perfect, but at least you're getting a workable system and everything else. Now, please, let's go, again, let's talk about E3 and something a little bit more cheerful, which is what I want to talk about. Again, I know I said I was going to cover E3 next week or next episode, but hopefully when we have Big Candy, hopefully Big Candy will be with us next week, and we'll talk about E3 and the other news that has come out about it. So there's that. And we'll cover the fallout, maybe what's coming out for PlayStation, what's coming out with Nintendo, if there's Borderlands news, or if there's more Red Dead Redemption news, we'll cover it then. But we'll see. It's just that Microsoft did their announcements today, and I wanted to at least include some of their announcements out now. So please bear with me in regards to that. And what they mostly showed were trailers. Very few of it was gameplay related. As the days go by, more and more trailers are released and will be released. I will share stuff to our Facebook page and so forth and so on. Let's start off in kind of order, and what I thought caught my eye and caught my attention with the Microsoft announcements / Xbox One announcements. The first one is the Halo Infinite trailer. I don't know if this is the will be coming down the pike later as Halo 6, but this might be a in-between game it's coming out wrong. I'm trying to fix it myself, but this might be a kind of a in-between game, meaning we have Halo 5 already out, and this could be a game to kind of prelude into Halo 6. So we'll see when gameplays and more information is out. They just wanted to say, hey, we're working on a new Halo game. We're calling it Halo Infinite, but who knows? It might turn out to be Halo 6 down the road. Next up is the first time it's going to be on a Xbox One console in its life, and that is Kingdom Hearts 3. That's right, for all of you PlayStation fans like myself, who at one point switched over to Microsoft in regards to like their 360 and stuck with the Xbox One, guess what? You're finally getting that PlayStation game on your Xbox console, and that is Kingdom Hearts 3. Again, we got a trailer for it, and yes, it's for all you PS4 fans out there listening. It will be available on the PS4 as well. I'm kind of stoked about this because I always want to catch up on Kingdom Hearts. I kind of liked it, so I'll see about getting it when it comes out. Hopefully it'll come out next year or later this year, that I'll be able to pick it up nice and easy. Next up is that we kind of saw a trailer for. Now here's the double kicker, the double kicker. Now for some of you out there, a lot of people have stated that E3 is kind of pointless now because studios like Bethesda, Gearbox, 343, Bungie, Activision, all those studios already put out information and commercials about games coming out. So therefore, E3 is pretty much pointless. But a lot of corporations like Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft still kind of use it for the big song and dance and the big reveals, the revealed consoles and what they have plans for the upcoming year. But so we kind of knew about Fallout 76 already. So they did have someone come out from Bethesda to tell us that yes, it's coming out. It's a prequel to the Fallout games that we've seen in the past, and it's going to be 4 times bigger than Fallout 4. So I know there's a lot of Fallout fans that might listen to this. So you're looking at a huge game, a huge stinking game. You thought Fallout 4 was big. This is going to be 4 times, according to them, 4 times bigger than Fallout 4. So again, I guess it's going to be also available on all systems. I don't know about Nintendo, but it's going to be out for, I think, PlayStation 4 as well. So keep an eye out for that. Next up is Crackdown 3. We got a Crackdown 3 trailer. Now, here's the thing. Yes, I kind of want to play this game. I kind of want to get this game. But they already came out a few weeks ago saying that Crackdown 3 is already delayed again. They've been talking about Crackdown 3 for the past, I don't know, 2, 3, maybe 4 years. And people are sick and tired of hearing, oh, it's coming soon. And according to a lot of reports, it's coming sometime next year. Probably March of next year. So I don't know. My guess is as good as all of you. Last time I heard, it was delayed until next year. They're still working on it. So I don't know if it'll suck or anything like that. It could be a case of Duke Nukem. Who knows? For those who want to know, it took when everybody got, what I mean by everybody, I mean PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360, when we finally got the new Duke Nukem game, it didn't live up to the hype. It took them like 20 years and like 3 or 4 different studios before this game ever came out, and it disappointed everybody. Literally disappointed everybody. So that's what a lot of people are kind of fearing about Crackdown 3, and where some people might be fearing about the whole aspect of Final Fantasy 7, because that, I think we reported as well, that the game has been kind of started from scratch because the initial studio that was working on it didn't really work on it. And so Square Enix, the people who usually make the Final Fantasy games, decided to take over making the remaster, the remake of Final Fantasy VII, and they pretty much said, oh, we got to start from scratch. So what that means, we don't know. They might be taking some of what the previous studio was working on and kind of work it into what they had, so who knows. So that's the problem of why a lot of people were kind of worried about Crackdown 3, even though we got another trailer for it earlier today. Next up that kind of caught my eye was Metro Exodus. And now, Metro didn't really catch my eye when I saw it. I do have several versions of Metro that I got through Games with Gold, and they were kind of interesting. I just got to play through them to see if they really catch my mind more, really hook it into me and make me play it. But for the most part, the storyline seemed slow. But if all of you out there like Metro, there's a new one coming out. And next one up is another Tomb Raider game is coming out, and it's called Shadow of the Tomb Raider. This is, again, one of those things that I have through Games with Gold. I have several versions of a Tomb Raider game, and I have yet to play them. I'm not saying that they're bad games. I'm just saying that I have yet to play them, and yet there's another one coming out. There are a plethora of fans who love Tomb Raider, just like there are a plethora of fans that love Assassin's Creed. So there's going to be people that are going to buy them, but maybe not me. I'm not saying it's a bad game. I'm just saying I'm not going to be the first in line to pick up this game. Now, next up, one that really did catch my eye and kind of want to pick up this game, even though I wasn't a real fan of the original series, but it kind of caught my eye, and I want to kind of hear the reviews of the game and kind of hear what other people have to say about it, and that is Devil May Cry 5. So, the trailer looked awesome, and I was like, you know what, I might want to try this game. I might want to pick this game up and see how it plays, and to see if my, you know, when I originally tried to play it, it was kind of like, clunky and kind of not for me, but this kind of might be for me. Who knows? My mind could be changed. I might actually pick it up or try it out. Pick up if it comes out at the same time on Game Pass as it does everywhere else. I might do a trial of Game Pass just so I could try a few games. So, including Devil May Cry. Now, next up, it's a game that I want to pick up. You heard me say I wanted to pick it up. If it's on sale this week or in the next couple of months, I will pick it up if it is cheap enough and I have the funds for it. And that is Cuphead. They announced a DLC for the Cuphead game. So, and it looks good. I like the how they did it. For those of you who've never played Cuphead, I've heard a lot of good things about it. I've yet to try it. I do want to try it. And it's one of those games that, from what I heard, is extremely hard, but in a good way. And that even a lot of players who are very good at playing games were like, I want to toss a controller at my TV screen. If my TV wasn't expensive, I would have. But even though very few people said, it's this, that, a lot of the reviews I've seen were like 8 out of 10 or 9 out of 10. So I might pick it up on the cheap and try it out. I don't know about the DLC, but how the game is put out and presented, I love how the style. And next up is Dying Light 2. Now, again, I wasn't really a fan of the first one. I never really played it. I heard about it, and a lot of people liked it. A lot of my friends liked Dying Light. So I believe that there is going to be a lot of people picking up the sequel and interested in it. If you are one of those people, feel free to tell us what you thought about it and so forth and so on. Stay tuned to the end of the show in regards to where to contact and how to contact us to let us know your thoughts. Next up, it was like a stay tuned kind of a teaser type of ordeal because there was no gameplay. I didn't see any gameplay attached to it really anything type of that showed graphics or what it looked like or anything like that. It was kind of a teaser, and that was for Battletoads. It's coming to at least Xbox Live or the Windows platform. So it could be a remaster. Now, let me put it like this. Last time anybody has seen a Battletoads game is back when it was on, I think, the original Nintendo. But Rare, the company Rare, I have the game case right here to pick it up. And I don't know if it's out for the PS4, but they made it for at least on the Xbox One. And that the game collection is Rare Replay. And it's 30 hit games on one disc, in a way. So you get 30 games, and one of the games you get is Battletoads. So you're able to play Battletoads on your current console, whether it's a PlayStation 4 and an Xbox One. So that way you have a taste of what Battletoads was. From what I heard, it was a very buggy game to begin with. Buggy yet good game when it came out for the NES. So this could be a remaster, it could be a redo, it could be a whole new type of a game coming out for the system. So stay tuned. I'll know more. When I know more about the game, I'll be happy to tell all of you about the game, providing you guys and gals don't know. And last but not least, the makers of Gears of War came out to announce not only will there be a Gears of War 5, but there it will be a Funko Gears of War. Kind of like for those of you who go to Walmart or shop at Walmart or shop at Target and see a bunch of these Funko Pop toys, there will be a Funko Pop Gears of War. I guess they're trying to come on the tails of the success of the Lego series, where the Lego Pirates of the Caribbean or Lego Star Wars or Lego whatever is out there for Lego Batman or Lego this, Lego that, is mostly family-oriented and mostly for kids. Where this might be for kids as well, but they're trying to have a little bit of a more edgier brand to it. So Funko Pops are like, let's try our hand in making a game with our style, and they chose Gears of War. So we'll see how that is. It could be fun if it's cheap enough. Hell, I'll probably even pick it up. But Gears of 5, is taking up at some point, sometime after Gears of War 4, which I may have to pick up at some point when it's cheap enough on sale. Again, it's E3 and sales week, so I'll have to see if it is cheap enough, or they're doing a super discount on the whole Gears of War and Cuphead, so I might pick it up then. So, that being said, that was the Microsoft announcements for Xbox and the Windows operating system. Not so much as Steam, but it's coming. You'll be able to play a lot of these games on your Windows computer. But hopefully by the time next episode comes around and we record, a lot more information will come out in regards to Nintendo. If or when we'll be getting a type of Borderlands announcement, whether it's a remaster of the original Borderlands game, or we'll be getting a Borderlands 3, so, or what have you, we'll know more as the days go by. I hope we're getting remasters of the original Borderlands, but if that means we are, then fuck. We'll talk about more next week in regards to why, once we get confirmation on certain titles and what's coming and the who's, what's, when's, and where, and where all the cards and the dust falls later this week. Now, that's about it. That's all I had to cover. I want to at least cover that. I know I said I wasn't going to cover E3. I'm going to wait till next week. Well, the bulk of it could be next week, so we'll see. I just want to cover the Atari aspect of things and what Microsoft said today, or I should say earlier today, the Sunday, January the 10th. So that's that. Again, if you want to weigh in on any topics that we said today, you're more than happy to do so by emailing us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com, or you could head on to Facebook and go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast and leave us a message there. Or if Facebook is not your thing, or emails you not your thing, but you love Twitter, you could DM us at Longcoat Mafia. Or if Twitter's not your thing and you really enjoy Instagram, you can leave us a DM that way by going to Longcoat Mafia and leaving us a DM. And while you're on either one of those social media sites, either it be Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, please hit that subscribe, that like button, that follow, or that follow button, and be a part of the many followers that are actually following us on those platforms, and that way you can stay up to date and where we're going and what we're doing. As per YouTube, you could also leave us a message that way, or leave us a comment on anything that we post up in regards to that. But to find us on YouTube, you would either have to search for Longcoat Mafia, or follow the link in the show's description down below by going to our website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com, and clicking the link that's in the episode description to find us easier. And I want to say this while I have it up, or talking about YouTube. There will be some videos I post up to YouTube that will be on occasion, or I should be doing so, on occasion, YouTube-only exclusives, and just like I'll be posting up Facebook-only exclusives when it comes to videos, because sometimes I want something special for those very few people who follow us on YouTube, and I think there's like only five or six people that follow us on YouTube. So I'll be happy if some of you guys and gals follow us on YouTube. That way you could catch some of our videos that we occasionally put up, and plus you'll be able to hear or at least see some of our videos or our podcasts come up. There's no images attached, but you'll be able to at least listen to our podcast through YouTube. What else? If you choose to listen to us on the go, you have a plethora or a lot of options to do so. If you choose the standard ways, you could listen to us through Apple Podcasts or Google Play Music on your mobile devices. But if you do not like Apple Podcasts or Google Play Music, you could use either the Stitcher app, the Spotify app, or the Podbean app. Now, personally, again, I recommend the Podbean app because you can listen to all our episodes going back, straight back to the beginning. Now, again, folks, if I didn't say it in the early part of this broadcast, we're up to 1,040 plus people following us on the Podbean app or through Podbean website itself. So that's a lot of people. That's wonderful. And all of you who are following us either through the Podbean app, iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher Radio, wherever, thank you so much for listening to us on those platforms. It means a lot. And if you follow us through Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, thank you so much for doing so as well. And happy to have you on those platforms. Let's see, what else? But if you do not have a mobile device and you prefer a desktop type of way of listening to us, whether it be a laptop or actual desktop computer, you can do so by listening to us and subscribing to us through iTunes, or listening to us through Spotify, Stitcher Radio, or you could go to our website, which is the wonkomafia.podbean.com, and you can listen to us directly through the website, or you could download the episodes and listen to them at your leisure through your favorite MP3 player of your choice. And again, I recommend if you doing it that way sometimes, because iTunes can be a little bit finicky. Again, I've had problems in the past with iTunes getting some episodes of my favorite podcasts. So if anything, again, I recommend Podbean, and I recommend going to our website and getting that way. So that being said, take care, all of you. We'll speak to you next week, and who knows what might happen next week. It could be a creepypasta episode, or it could be another wonderful host-based episode. So stay tuned to see what happens. More news next week. I'll save it for next week. Thank you. Bye-bye.
See you next time on the Long Coat Mafia.